Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining me today from Kingsport, Tennessee is Suzanne Bullitt. Suzanne is Director, Global Trade Strategy and Compliance for the Eastman Chemical Company. Suzanne, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Adam, thank you for having me.
So one changing area of risk is tariffs. There's a lot that's been discussed, obviously, in the news about raising tariffs back and forth, but I think it's notable that this is a compliance issue that compliance people need to be aware of. Can you briefly run down what's going on and what people need to be thinking about?
Sure. So with respect to compliance professionals, what we need to ensure is accurate are our harmonized classifications. So these are our harmonized tariff schedules, also referred to as HTS codes or HTS numbers. I think in such a dynamic environment that we're currently experiencing with respect to tariffs, it's easy to try to, or would be easy for a business to try to modify the harmonized schedule in order to impact the tariffs, right? To either mitigate themselves out of tariffs or to change their duty impact, right? But as a compliance professional, we know that our harmonized classifications need to be consistent, they need to be accurate, and they need to be declared properly. So regardless of what we're hearing in the news regarding tariffs and whether the tariff rate is an additional 25% on goods coming in from China or 10% or maybe other countries in which we're importing, it is imperative that we keep those classifications accurate and that we declare the proper amounts and the proper classifications to the U.S. government.
So, and that, by the way, you know, is just one big part of the picture of what you're dealing with when it comes to trade compliance. There's also the entire area of export and import licenses, which can be a bit fraught. Can you take us through what compliance officers should be looking for these days?
Certainly. Well, tying into my comment regarding tariffs, again, we're back at classification. So the initial driver of both an export and an import license is how you classify your goods. And again, with respect to certain countries, an export or an import license could be driven off either your harmonized classification number or your export control classification number. And again, that's depending on the country in which you're importing or exporting. So very similar to tariffs, you know, with respect to import and export licenses, again, it's imperative as a compliance professional that we make sure our businesses are properly classifying both under the harmonized classification as well as under our ECCN or export control classification, and that will determine what our licensing requirements are. So again, it all starts with the classification, and from there we would need to understand the regulatory requirements with respect to the licensing, right? And at that point, you would need to better understand the country-specific guidance and the country-specific requirements for both import and export, and understanding those laws and regulations, whether you're based in the US or in the EU or even in Asia or Latin America, is imperative as a compliance professional, especially if you work for an industry or in a business where you have regulated products subject to export or import controls.
So, as if the picture now wasn't complicated enough and the need to stay on top of things, there's also the issue of sanctions, which is a very complex one that's also dynamic these days. You know, there's sort of two levels. There's obviously state countries that are sanctioned and individuals. Let's start about the sanctioned countries. It sounds obvious that it seems like it should be obvious how to avoid dealing with a country that's on the sanctions list. However, that can be complicated with so many third-party entities which may be doing business on behalf of that country without necessarily disclosing it. How do you make sure and set up a compliance regime that prevents your salespeople from accidentally or, you know, potentially intentionally selling to people who may in fact be, you know, fronts for sanctioned countries?
Sure, and that tends to be a complex answer. So with respect to sanctioned countries, it seems very simple, but sometimes, as you mentioned, it can be really complex because the way sanctions are drafted are not always at the country level, but it can be at individual, level or even at end use level for certain sanctions. So it's important to understand the sanctions that you're dealing with, not just from the country perspective, but what those individual sanctions are and how they could be interpreted. Now, with respect to sanctioned entities, it can get very complex, as you mentioned, especially as of late, because what we're seeing now is, especially with the Office of Foreign Asset Controls under the Department of Treasury, is that OFAC in the last few years has initiated a rule by which entities who are sanctioned, who own over 50% of a subsidiary organization, would also place that subsidiary under sanctions under the US government. And that's not easy to determine. As a compliance professional, most of our businesses probably have screening tools and solutions that we've implemented, right? Maybe sometimes they're automated, you know, connecting with our ERP system. Maybe they're manual, where it's somebody in our offices, we're conducting manual screening. But it's really important that those screenings that are taking place and that we're screening at the proper level to identify not just the sanctioned countries, but also the sanctioned individuals and how those are established therein. I think another issue that you bring up that is really great is that with so many parties to the transaction in many of our businesses, it's important that we thoroughly vet all of the parties to the transaction when looking at our different sales scenarios in our business. And some of our business transactions, the way, you know, individual businesses conduct businesses are very easy, right? Maybe we're selling direct to a customer or just selling direct to an entity and there's nobody else involved and they're going to use the product for their own specific end use. That makes the screening very simple. It's some of those scenarios that we run into where the businesses are more complex. You know, maybe we're selling to a service provider who's using our product in many different areas, or maybe we're selling to an engineering firm who's incorporating our technology into a plant or a business or a technology or a device that's going to be used for a broader group of entities. And maybe sometimes we're selling even to an entity that is a joint venture or a consortium of entities, right? So our parties to the transaction can get very complex. And as a compliance professional, it's imperative that you understand your business and not only your business, but how your sales folks are conducting business and how your customers are conducting business and the types of entities in which you're selling. So from a very simplistic standpoint, your screening solution should cover all parties to the transaction. And a lot of our screening solutions are set up to screen either our build to party or ship to party. But a lot of that can be enhanced, where maybe our systematic screening could cover our vendors, our suppliers, our banking institutions, our vessels that we're sailing on, right? Truly all parties to the transaction so that the screening is capturing everything. But if we don't have that automated, you know, we've got to have a mechanism by which we gather that information and we're doing a manual screening on those parties to the transaction. So first and foremost, we got to understand our business and we got to understand how our customers conduct business. Secondly, we need to be able to gather that information from our customers or our sales teams and properly vet our sales opportunities. And then thirdly, we've got to implement compliance screening solutions that are comprehensive, that are not only going to catch all these sanctions or these controls at the onset, but also be monitoring them at the time of the transaction. You know, many of our businesses may vet a specific project, gosh, you know, right now, but that project may be taking place for 5 years. So we want to make sure that our process is in place to systematically or to manually screen over time so that we're not just covered now on the way sanctions are applied at this snapshot, right, this moment in time, but also as sanctions migrate and as they change over the course of time. Because new sanctions will come into play, some sanctions will be removed, that's inevitable. So we've got to make sure that our compliance processes are in place to take a snapshot now, but then also lead us into the future.
Well, and you know, it's to me what's interesting as you said that, I mean, is We're used to hearing things about third-party vetting in terms of our vendors and suppliers, not also in terms of the risk that comes from our customers. But when it comes to, you know, third-party vetting, I think the first time, you know, that phrase was talked about a lot was probably 6-7 years ago when people were addressing that more rigorously in the FCPA context. I think over the years, it's been interesting to see how it's expanded in terms of, you know, as we're talking now about sanctions, data privacy issues, how much we really have to train everyone to realize that our business depends on this ecosystem, not just in terms of where we generate revenues and where we get our supplies from, but also in terms of the risk areas that it poses. Let me ask, how do you get your sales force to understand all of these issues and stay on top of them? I mean, it's obviously a lot for them when they're busy trying to make the sale, find somebody who needs, you know, a product, in your case, a specialty chemical that wants it, they've got competitors. How do you help them understand what they need to be alert for and what the risks are to not just the business, to the business, them personally, all of that?
I think the key element in that is having a proper compliance training program with your sales team. So you've got to have an outreach program where you're reaching out to them on a regular basis. Either a great opportunity is when they have sales meetings, you know, and you get a snapshot of their window or write a specific time slot allotted for compliance training. And it doesn't have to be detailed, right? What you really want them to know is, here are the areas of risk. Here are some things you need to look out for. And these are the people you need to contact if you see a red flag. So I think a lot of our sales teams will probably throw up a white flag many times and say, I'm overwhelmed with the amount of training that I have and with the amount of information that is coming at me from a business standpoint and all my sales figures and what I need to accomplish. That compliance is not often at the forefront of their minds when they're going out on a sales call, right? Because they're being driven by the numbers and by making the sale. But what it's important that they remember is who they can talk to, right? Some basics on who's sanctioned and who's not, and what countries they need to look out for. And maybe if they work with certain products, if those products are subject to export controls, training on that as well. And then giving them some guidelines on who to call if they have quick questions, right? So the key is the initial training, but also the follow-up is to keep in good contact with your sales teams. Let them know that you're there for questions and you're there for guidance. And that if they come back from a sales meeting and says, something's just not right here, right? I see a red flag, or maybe they're alluding to a potential sale or potential customer that's maybe in Iran or North Korea. Obviously, that should throw up a red flag in their mind and they should say, wait, you know, I think I need to talk to my compliance team first before I move any further. Thank you very much, right? If you provide them with regular training, regular guidance, and you stay on top of your sales team and you stay communicative with your sales team, it really makes all the difference.
Well, Suzanne, thank you so much for taking the time to share your thoughts with us. I also want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.